And we are recording. We're already recording.
Oh, Lord, so. We are. Then I better get my professional left voice on.
Excuse me. Let me take a sip of my liquor.
And we're back.
I got the ass end of that tall boy from yesterday, honey.
Miller High Life. Yeah.
It is the champagne of beers, I would have
it's
you know.
It's the champagne of beers.
Yeah.
Driftglass makes a very good barbecued pulled pork.
I do.
And it starts with a cheap cut of pork roast and a beer.
And a beer.
But a cheap beer.
I said to the guy, where's your worst beer? And he looked at me like I'd insulted his children. Okay, that came out wrong. I do this for a living, so I really should know better. And he pointed me over to the tiny corner where the tall boys are, where the 40s are. And this brings back memories.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought back a...
Give you a little paper bag to drink it out of.
Yeah, so now I'm legal. Like they call it the Buttigieg sack. So.
The Buttigieg sack. Yeah, exactly. Because he drank out of one of those to appear cool with black folks.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad. Did not... It really was a Dukakis in the helmet moment.
Yeah. Well, I came home and offered it to the girls and... You know, in exchange for all of your good grades, here's a 40. And
they looked at you like, Miller, really? What is this?
I thought you said life is too short to drink crap beer.
Yep.
And well, you know what? That's a quote you can throw in my face all day long.
That's so right.
I steamed up pork and made barbecue pork and it worked out fine.
It works out fine. So. But you gave me a sip of it. It did taste like seltzer with like a beer infusion.
Yeah, it's nothing. It tastes like literally tastes like nothing.
Yeah.
And it's for, you know, you to drink all day long.
Yeah. And pee all day long.
Yeah.
Speaking of pee.
You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for July 26th, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live while waiting in line to pee on David Brooks's restaurant food, it's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Blue Gal. Actually, we now have spies at local restaurants, so we can actually, our network is wide.
It is.
We can, if David Brooks breaches any of the areas, any of the four corners that we know of the restaurant world, we will be able to respond immediately, because this week we have to welcome back an old sponsor, one of our favorites, Hello Fascist, the at-home meal kit for Republicans, with a new testimonial from a Mr. D. Brooks of Washington, D.C., which goes like this. Waiters hate me because I'm a privileged oaf who use social media to collectively insult their profession for not being sufficiently awestruck by my awesomeness. Now I live in dread that they may be secretly organizing a national day of urine to pee in my food wherever I go. But now, with Hello Fascist, I can stuff my face and insult the working class without fear.
Hello Fascist is the at-home meal kit.
For Trump administration stooges, Republican enablers, assholes who live in the Beltway media, that provide Americans of that sort with fresh home-cooked meals with no planning, no shopping, and no one calling you out for your moral depravity in public. Hello Fascist, because those people are definitely peeing in your food.
All right, let's get started with what's been going on this week. Dive right into it.
Slow week.
It actually, do you realize that since the last time we podcast, the new video of Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein from 1992, the unearthed video, that came out this week. That seems like a year ago.
It's a year ago.
People have been saying, well, the reason Mueller wasn't sort of more fireworky is because we're all just so beaten down. No, it's just that time is moving at such a crazy, manipulated pace that we don't have time to react to anything before the next stupid thing happens.
And there's so much flying under the radar. Yeah. That's what scares the hell out of me. Is that while you and I and every other decent person, we have X amount of bandwidth. And let's face it, we don't have a liberal media.
Yep.
We have a couple of little outposts. We don't have the kind of – we can't afford the Illinois Policy Institute that we just pay to focus on like three issues. And that's it. So we as amateur journalists or professional pundits or the professional left or whatever you want to call us pretty much have to focus on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Keep track of everything, which is daunting, considering that there's just two of us, and you spend most of your day working on Crooks and Liars, and it's just that's what scares me, is when I go through the week's headlines below the headlines and see all the incredible long-term carcinoma damage that Republicans are doing to this country that will take a generation to clean up. That's what really scares me. And this week, that all came to a head in a weird way with the Mueller hearings.
Yes, it did.
That I mentioned to you a couple of times were actually confirmation hearings.
Confirmation bias hearings, for sure.
They were. Because they really were. Going in, I just had this very strong feeling that it didn't matter. And it wasn't based on nothing. It was based on my entire body of experience watching the Beltway media operate, watching Republicans operate, watching those two, you know, incestuously intertwined institutions discover and refine their individual party lines to the point where they just never change them, no matter what. So I knew Republicans, the script for the Mueller hearing had already been written a week ago. And Republican politicians, elected officials who were talking during those hearings were doing so to provide plug-in quotes for Fox News to plug into the script that had already been written.
Or they were rereading a script that Fox News had provided to them.
God, yeah. That was amazing. Not surprising.
No.
But that Devin Nunes,
Daily Show,
Sean Hannity.
Good for Daily Show putting this together.
Just line for line repeating what Sean Hannity told him to say. That's how completely there's no Republican Party anymore. There's just Fox News in front of the desk and Fox News behind the desk. That's all there is of that.
It's simply a propaganda machine, right?
Yeah, and not a benign one.
No.
You know, if you're selling me Twinkies, maybe you can live with yourself. But their message is destroying the country, looting it for what it's worth, turning it over to our foreign enemies, and laughing all the way to the bank as the rest of us die or live to see our democracy die in front of us,
as well as our planet. And they love it.
I don't know what species these fuckers are from. I don't know what planet they've been sent from to wreck us and then leave. But I don't recognize these as my fellow human beings anymore. I recognize them as devils who are sent here. But the problem is I know where they came from. They didn't just pop into existence out of nowhere. You and I have been tracking these people for 30 years, watching them get worse and more depraved and more desperate and lying and destructive and seditious and on and on. So come the Mueller hearings, it's no surprise that there was going to be a script. It was going to be built by Fox News and Hate Radio a week in advance. And all they were going to do was plug in the quotes from their employees and stooges. And you and I and the rest of the side of the angels out there were going to watch the hearings and ignore the fact that Robert Mueller is over 70 and hard of hearing and stutters and isn't made for TV. You know, he's what Gary Cooper would have been like in his 90s.
Right.
Halting and careful with his words. But what he said was devastating.
Yes.
The things that he said and the things that were built around those words that sort of, all right, I know you're not going to sit up here and exposit on what a traitorous scumbag Donald Trump and everyone he associates with is, but is it true that Donald Trump lied to blah, blah? Oh yeah, that's true. Is it true that he exhorted others to lie? Yes, that's true. So he got as close to saying that this whole rat bag of criminals needs to be impeached tomorrow as he was ever going to get. And that's what you and I heard. And we didn't need the pyrotechnics. And then all those noble centrists out there, all the independents, all the middle of the roaders, all of those cowards and timid little schlemiels out there who just don't want to ever take a fucking side on anything because it's bad for business. You know, it's bad for my auto dealership to come out as left or right. So I'm going to go right down the middle. They were looking for someone to tell them that both sides failed, that both sides lost, that somehow everybody fucked up. And it was just
no one in cable news would do that.
No, no. It took someone on network news to do that, honey. Chuck Todd, Beltway optician, paging Chuck Todd, Beltway optician or optometrist, if you will. And as someone said on the Twitter, by winning, the Dems actually lost is every single Chuck Todd analysis.
Right.
And Chuck Todd went on the air saying, well, sure, you know, there's impeachable offenses and crimes were committed, but the optics were so bad.
Yeah. He wasn't good on television. Terrible. So therefore, right. the fact that he was calling Donald Trump an obstructor of justice with mm-hmm. credible evidence to that effect. Mm-hmm. Meh. Yeah.
You know.
It's not good on TV.
Russia attack. No, it didn't look good on TV. I couldn't make it sing. Right. So it didn't count. And if Chuck Todd were some goof at the local drugstore saying it across the counter, if he were some guy on the bus, expressing his opinion or at the bar, that's fine. Chuck Todd has a position of enormous influence over a great and God-fearing mm-hmm. nation. And his position at NBC/MSNBC exists to provide the middle with excuses they need not to take mm-hmm. a position on anything. Mm-hmm. That is his whole job. Everyone knows that's his job. Everyone knows that he was hired for. And that is absolutely – there were people at the Columbia Journalism Review.
Yes.
And other people who, by deflection, by inference, who said all this talk of optics without talking about him, because if you say shit about Chuck Todd, you never get to go on TV. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where a lot of people are just angling for, that they don't want to blow their chance to collect a paycheck from NBC or MSNBC at some future date. So they don't talk shit about Chuck Todd, even though that's exactly what they're doing. But it was just as depressing and predictable as you would imagine. I was uplifted by the fact that everything that needed to be said is now on the public record.
Right, right.
And can be referenced and cross-referenced and brought up by Jerry Nadler, for example, during an impeachment inquiry, which I believe that's where he's headed.
I also think the thing that is being missed, a story that's being missed in terms of the Mueller hearings, is what I call leakage, where the story leaks out to people who never discuss politics, don't want to hear about politics, yeah. don't care about politics. And for instance, Seth Meyers, and again, his monologues are very political, but you would watch Seth Meyers, not necessarily watching 7 hours of the Mueller hearings. You might watch Seth Meyers, right. even on YouTube, you might watch Seth Meyers. And he calls Donald Trump a liar constantly. Well, looking at Mueller through the lens of Seth Meyers, you get to see Mueller say, I did not totally exonerate the president. I did not. What he did was a crime. And I think it was yesterday on The View, which again, they do political conversations on The View, but they also have celebrities on. It's a daytime women's talk show. And Meghan McCain, they actually had Adam Schiff on. Now, he was in Washington and they're in studio, so it was done on tape. Mm-hmm. But Meghan McCain thought it would be a good idea to ask Adam Schiff if he had a smoking gun in the Mueller investigation.
Right.
And Adam Schiff just looked at the camera and said, yep, I do. Mm-hmm. The Russians offered dirt on Hillary Clinton to Don Jr. in writing, and Don Jr. said he'd love it in writing. And that's my smoking gun. And
he did elaborate further, but that
was
it.
She didn't know what to do to that. You know, she thought she had a gotcha question.
I got it.
A lot of Republicans seem to think they have gotcha question. Did you notice that in the Mueller hearing?
I did.
How come you didn't quote Fox more?
Right. What about Obama and Uranium One? What about Hillary's emails? I got you there, didn't I? Now, when the Gohmerts on the right say that, they're not talking to anybody
but Fox News,
the idiots
right.
who vote for them
right.
and Fox
right.
News. They're talking, and Donald Trump, who can crush them by crushing their heads by going to their state and saying, Louis Gohmert is a dirty socialist, liberal socialist, and you should vote him out of office. That's the end of Louis right. Gohmert's career. Now, Gohmert's never going to do that because Louis Gohmert is
He is self-preservation. You know, all of the Republicans that know Donald Trump has him by the short hairs. Are going to behave themselves, and this, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this puts all of them in the same cripplingly hilarious existential box that they've been in since the beginning. The apologists for the Republican Party, the people who are just edging for the exits, are trying to figure out a way to say, I don't trust the voters of my party, my fellow elected officials, the president of the United States, the vice president, the attorney general. But the liberals weren't right, and somehow these people, all of them, this entire block of people, aren't really the Republican Party. Yeah. And there's, and this is why we call this the great rebranding. I mean, this is, it is coming, people. It's actually here. It's arrived. Here. And I know it because Charlie Pierce out of the blue referenced me on Twitter when he was saying, as Mr. Electrico has been warning, the great rebranding is here. The great rebranding is coming. And everyone from the never Trumpers to the people who just want to straddle. I just want my fucking tax cuts. I don't like the tweets. That's been your line since.
Never
like
the tweeting. I'm an independent. Right.
This is what the future looks like.
Well, and I think they're going to try to have a 1-2 punch with this, which is I never liked the deficit.
Right. That's
Laura Ingraham had Lindsey Graham on this week.
Yeah.
And said, look, I have to hit the president on this. I'm so sorry, Lindsey Graham, but I really have to because, you know, the budget deficit is so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsey Graham looks at her and says, it's okay. You can hit the president on the deficit because you know what? Uh-huh. Barack Obama broke the Pentagon and we have to fix it.
Right.
But this is what I grabbed. And we have to push this constantly because it's coming, folks. He said, we have made promises to Social Security and Medicare that we can't keep.
Right.
He said that out loud on camera.
Yep. Yep, he did.
And so they're going to say, Donald Trump who? That's going to be number one. Donald Trump who? He's not president anymore, just like they did with Bush. And then they'll say, and we never agreed with Donald Trump on the deficit. That's not a Republican value. So now we have to do something about the deficit. And you saw Brian Kilmeade. said,
Brain Trust,
Brain Trust said, the next president is going to have to do something about the deficit. I think we now have their roadmap for what rebranding is going to be. It's going to be about the deficit. Yeah. It's going to be about cutting Social Security, Medicare, as they call it, reforming entitlements. Fuck you. Right. You know, that's where I go with that one. And we were never with Donald Trump with the budget deficit.
Right.
Which they will not mention was caused by the tax cuts.
Well, they have the name of them, but there was a GOP congressman this week who said the majority of Republicans don't want to be defined by Trump supporters.
Nice try.
And I'm just sitting there going, the majority of Republicans are Trump supporters.
Right.
That's what every single fucking poll says. This is why. Honestly, if you're not watching, I know you're not watching personally, Blue Gal, but I'm watching The Loudest Voice, which is based on The Loudest Voice in the Room, which is the story of Roger Ailes.
Right.
And it is so simple. If you have the biggest megaphone, you win. You just shout down everyone else. You just buy your local paper and turn it into a GOP hate machine to destroy your community so you can personally benefit from rezoning, and then you just drop it because that's all you ever really wanted. You wanted your personal privilege protected. And as long as Republicans have a bigger microphone than liberals do, we're going to keep losing, or we're going to keep fighting for the middle, or we're going to keep fighting just regain the things we lost. As long as people are allowed to put Hugh Hewitt back on television, the minute the administrations change and everyone from Chuck Todd to Joe Scarborough starts grilling Democratic candidates or the future Democratic president, cross your fingers, to your lips to God's ears, about the deficit. Because this is what happens when you've been doing this for a long time. Every time there's a change in administration, history is reset.
Yep.
The previous administration simply ceases to exist. And this week I had a small exchange.
Wait, if they're Republicans.
If they're Republicans.
Right, because.
No, it works both ways. And here's what I mean. For 8 years, Republicans just shit all over Bill Clinton and impeached him over trivia. Mm-hmm. The minute George Bush was elected, Clinton disappeared. Because Bush was everything they accused Clinton of being. He really did have an illegitimate election.
Yeah.
He really was a criminal. He really did he blew the Clinton surplus away and brought us right back to deficits again. Gigantic, unpaid for deficits. He did everything that everyone was mad on the right for Clinton allegedly doing. He really did those things. And the right would not permit any comparison with Clinton. Like, well, wait a minute, you just said this and now you're saying that. Because first of all, 9/11 changed everything, Blue Guy. I don't know if you knew this, but 9/11 changed everything. And secondly, because that we're just not going to allow any discussion of anything that happened before January of 2000. Period. We're just not going to do it. We're not going to allow any discussion of anything that happened during the Clinton administration. George Bush administration shits everything, wrecks the deficit, wrecks the economy, lies us into the wrong war, tortures people, Barack Obama is elected. Suddenly, George Bush vanishes.
Right.
He's gone from memory. There's no George Bush. Donald Trump is elected. The king of the birthers is now elected. The Obama administration is now gone from history. Everything Obama said and did, all the compromise, all the centrist ideals that Barack Obama tried to implement to make David Brooks happy, that the Republican Party blew up, is gone from memory. The thing that happened to me this week was I had a very friendly exchange with someone on Twitter who's talking about what a shithole Chuck Todd is. And yeah, he is. He's terrible. Chuck Todd is the worst, the worst. He said, and before him, Tim Russert was no prize, And I said, do you remember David Gregory? And the response was, holy shit, I completely forgot about David Gregory. Because of course you did. David Gregory was a giant slab of stupid between Tim Russert and Chuck Todd, who did two things. His two signature moves were having David Brooks on every goddamn week, just about, or reading aloud from a David Brooks column every week and extolling the virtues of the centrism. And why won't Barack Obama lead for eight fucking years? Or rehabilitating Newt Gingrich's political career every time he took a dump in public. The through line was were the Gingrich rules. There's a set of rules for people like Newt Gingrich where we're never going to hold them accountable for anything they say or do in public. We're just going to bring them back on the air, rehab their career, and never ask them any questions about, you know, the Ground Zero mosque or insulting or his racist comments about Obama. We're just going to treat him like a favorite uncle and send him back on his way. And then putting David Brooks on and reading aloud from David Brooks columns to David Brooks, and then asking David Brooks, what do you think, David Brooks, about your own column? I think it's very wise there. And again, never asking David Brooks about the shit he wrote last week or the week before, which always turned out to be wrong. And so that entire part of history just is gone. It's just gone. No one remembers David Gregory. No one remembers the all the horrors the Republicans unleashed on this country during the Obama administration.
Well, that's why David Gregory got a job on CNN this week as the guest substitute host of CNN's New Day. And he started,
what was his hot take on politics?
His first day on the job. He said, well, I can see how Republicans could compartmentalize the racism versus the tax cuts and really like the tax cuts and therefore vote for Donald Trump.
Right. And be resentful that you're lumping us in with those racists over there, because we're not racist. We're just like our tax cuts.
So,
And everyone just nodding around the table because like and this is why these people have jobs. But that's the point. The point is that as the seams are popping on the Trump administration, the next iteration of Republican rebranding is going to happen. It's happening right now. This is the building the lifeboats portion of our show.
And we're going to burn the lifeboats. Remember this, folks, right?
Yeah. This week, Joe Scarborough said, Jesus, forgive me for ever being a Republican.
And you have an understanding from all of your religious study, Driftglass, as to how Jesus does forgive you.
He does. Most religious faiths, including the Baptist faith, I believe that Mr. Scarborough was raised in, maybe I'm wrong, but there's a certain amount of confession and repentance and atonement, none of which Joe Scarborough is willing to do at all. He just wants to say, oops, I guess I was wrong, and move on. He doesn't want to talk about the years he spent. This is what really does bother me. Joe Scarborough made $117,000 a week or whatever his insane salary was, more or less by shitting on people like you and me.
Right.
I mean, literally, he built his career mocking people like us as stupid and crazy and dumb.
Anyone who resisted the Iraq war had Cheetos dust all over their underwear and didn't know anything about Iraq. And let me tell you what's really going on. And let's have some Republican senator on to talk about how George Bush is going to win the war. The end.
Right.
Yeah.
And now it's, I guess, Well, Donald Trump is certainly awful. And somehow the Republican Party turned into this racist dung heap overnight. No. And so the people who now would like to pretend, would like to continue getting book deals and getting op-ed columns and getting TV time, just like they always have, spent 90% of their career making money, calling people us like us, mm-hmm. the devil. Now they're saying, oh, well, you know, people make mistakes. I'd like to continue getting my book deals and all the perks and privilege. I'd like to continue being Bill Kristol. But I'd like to, let's talk about the future of the Republican Party. Let's not talk about the past. That's a scary place. This is where all the evidence is that I'm a lying asshole who you should never trust. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how we can all get along together and unite around certain things. Like A, I should never have to pay for anything I said or did. B, the people who were right all along should never be allowed on television to challenge my opinions. C, let's just all agree that Donald Trump is the only exclusive problem. And once he's out of the way, somehow yeah. things will return to those good old days of George Bush. And there is no one allowed on the stage to say, stop saying this shit. You're lying. The Bush administration was a fucking disaster and you were thrilled with it. The Obama administration was the model of centrist, cooperative, honorable, honest, decent governance you said you always wanted, mm-hmm. and you people shit on it every day since day one. How do you think we got Donald Trump? By turning Barack Obama into the beast. You gave legitimacy to people who were saying he's not really an American, wasn't even born here. A lie which was born and bred and nurtured at Fox News and metastasized by Fox News to great effect. Worked great. This never bothered these people. As long as they could sit on the sidelines and bitch about how awful liberals were and not have to lift a fucking finger, it was all okay. Because it doesn't matter how many, exactly like Brian Kilmeade said, God help me, I never thought I'd say that sentence. because no matter how, this is deep, the most deeply held conservative principle held by Bill Kristol and David Brooks and Rick Wilson and Tom Nichols, right across the board. The most deeply held principle is, yeah, I may be an immoral fuck who lies for a living and get terrible people elected and has never been wrong about anything in my life. But no matter how badly yeah. my people fuck things up, liberals will always come along and clean it up. And that's the dynamic we work with. I get paid a lot of money to get people elected who will destroy the country. And then liberals get people elected who will try to rebuild the country and sweep up the rubble while mm-hmm. I make more mm-hmm. money attacking them as socialists. And that whole dynamic has to stop. Because if the same people who lied to you in 1980 and 1990 and 2000 and 2010 and 2012 and 2019 are continued to be allowed to have a public platform to say whatever the fuck they want without opposition, without anyone sitting across from them saying, everything you just said is bullshit and you goddamn well know it. Why does your memory stop at 2015? How the hell do you think we got here? If there's no one allowed on the stage to say that, to confront them with that information, then what you are seeing is a lie, a corporate lie being spread by every network because the alternative is terrifying. The alternative is we have to replace these people. We have to actually shovel the shit out of our communication center and replace the serial liars who we all love and we're all related to and we're all fucking, you know, on the side and it's this incestuous inbred mm-hmm. clusterfuck of a media with people who actually tell us the truth and talk about grown-up adult issues and grown-up adult
yeah.
ways. And that is the last thing networks want to do. Because you know who talked about grown-up adult issues and grown-up adult ways? Bob Mueller. But he's boring. He's boring. We want shouty crackers lunatics like Laura Ingraham mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and shouty crackers lunatics like Tucker Carlson. That's how we want the news to look. And we want some liberal version of that, some neutered, watered down liberal version of that way over on the other side. That's what media should look like.
Well, except we have that.
Yes, we do.
I mean, I hesitate to say this because it's not shouty crackers. It's serious right. commitment to truth and what we are as Americans. But uh-huh. we have dynamic made for television people on the left.
We do.
We have AOC. We have the squad. They call themselves the squad. Mm-hmm. Impeach the motherfucker already. And, you yeah. know, Mazie Hirono saying bullshit. You know, we have people doing that. Mm-hmm. When those people appear and would meet the Chuck Todd standard for being optically appropriate for television.
Right.
They're not, because they're not the right color. They're not the right gender. And what they want is the magic hippie, right? Not right. the magic Negro, which was what right. all the pressure that Barack Obama was supposed to be under to be perfect.
There was
this
the
magic
Christian.
Hippie yes. who's not going yeah. to challenge their tax cuts, not going to challenge our advertisers, not going to challenge capitalism, but will be good for TV and good for ratings. Right. And you're not going to get that combination, folks. It doesn't happen, because the people on the left are working toward a better America. I want to talk for a minute about what Bill Weld said to the NAACP this week. I don't know if you knew this, Driftglass, but Donald Trump was invited to speak before the NAACP, and he said no.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I find that disappointing.
Second time, second election that he's done that. Bill Weld went to the NAACP meeting, as many other Republican candidates for president have done before.
Yes, they have.
Romney went. McCain went. It is something that you're not expecting a lot, but you go. Okay. And Bill Weld just said, "Good morning, everybody. My name is Bill Weld, and I'm running against Donald Trump in the Republican primaries. So let's get one thing out of the way right at the beginning. Donald Trump is a raging racist, okay?" Now, Bill Weld is older than Donald Trump. I did not realize that. Then he talked with Lawrence O'Donnell that night about the future of the Republican Party. And he said, and I think the only thing I would never vote for Bill Weld, because Bill Weld is truly a libertarian.
Yes, he is.
And I don't believe in libertarianism, so that's not going to happen. I admire Bill Weld for primarying Donald Trump and standing up to his own party.
And he's an honorable man.
And he worked with Robert Mueller. He was Robert Mueller's boss, and he was a federal prosecutor. And he also, when he ran as a libertarian in 2016, made it very clear to anyone who would listen to him that there was no case against Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And he said, "I'm saying this as a federal prosecutor. There is no case against Hillary Clinton. Just stop it. There's no, you will never convince a prosecutor that she had any intent to defraud the government or defraud the voters or in any way. You know, she was a victim. Her emails were stolen from her, and there's no case there. There's just so he was very honest about that. And now he's being very honest with this party. The only thing I disagree with him about in the statement that I'm going to read is what I mean is the ship has sailed. That's what I really want to say to Bill Weld. You know, nice try. Your ship has sailed. He said, if the Republican Party doesn't distance itself from the unbelievable racism of President Trump, it is going to be stigmatized throughout the country as the party of racism." Again, ship sailed.
Yeah. Long ago.
And they are not going to be a national party anymore. They may be able to win Dixiecrat states from 1948 and that George Wallace won in 1968. But as a national party, not so much. That's a message I want to deliver to Republicans. And I would argue with him that if Democrats win the White House and there is an attorney general who gets serious about voter fraud and gerrymandering, and the voters get serious about voter fraud and gerrymandering, undoing the voter fraud laws, quote unquote.
That the voter suppression laws.
Suppression that suppress the vote. I see Georgia turning blue. Not Alabama, but I see Georgia turning blue.
Maybe Texas. Yeah.
Maybe Texas. Right. Exactly. And if you get to the point where, and don't forget that a great many Puerto Ricans moved to Florida and registered to vote after the hurricane.
Yes, they did.
If you get to the point where Florida, California, and Texas are all you need to win the presidency and they're all blue. You know.
And New York.
And the obvious states that are blue no matter what, right? California is one of those. But
Illinois. Yeah.
Shout out to Illinois, which is one of the states that was actually named. They did name check Illinois as one of the states that Russia got our voter records. So
yeah. Oh no.
Hey there, Vladimir. How you doing? I'm on your voter rolls.
Mm-hmm. Who is IP Freely? Oh, I voted for him in 83. It was a thing.
That was a write in. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. John Havocan. Remember him? He was great.
All right. So I admire Bill Weld for primarying Donald Trump. I hope he gets 20% in New Hampshire and shakes things up that way. But I think the ship has sailed as far as the Republican Party being the party of racism. We kind of got that. Yeah.
I have asked for many weeks now of all the Never Trumpers who blocked me for asking questions like this. Why don't you just go back Bill Weld?
Yeah, right.
You all proclaim yourself to be such prophets and media geniuses and electoral wizards.
Right.
Why don't you just go and win some primaries for good old Bill Weld?
He's running as a Republican.
Yeah.
He's primarying Donald Trump. He's on the ballot in New Hampshire.
And he represents the imaginary Republican Party that you keep insisting exists.
He does. The well-educated cocktail party.
Right.
Liberal on abortion, not trying to stomp on women, well-spoken, Harvard-educated lawyer, cigars in the men's club, Republican Party. He represents all Brahmin Republican Party, absolutely.
And if you can bring this mighty electoral genius to bear on the Democratic Party so heavily that without your genius, we will never win. Without Rick Wilson's, you know, limitless electoral wizardry, there's no chance for a Democrat to win anything anywhere in 2020. Well, why don't you just take that wizardry and march on down to the Bill Weld office?
Right.
And he's everything you say you want. He's in your party. He is opposing all the things you oppose. And now the only possible answer as to why you won't do that is you either you're greedy and they're not going to pay you enormous amounts of money that you would be paid to work on his campaign, or you know for a fact that everything liberals have said about the GOP is 100% true, and you've known it for years, and you were perfectly okay poking racists with a sharp stick and getting them to the polls as long as the checks were clearing, as long as they weren't saying the quiet part out loud. You were perfectly okay with riling up the bigots and the lunatics and getting them to the polls to get horrible people elected. You never had a problem with that, which means you don't have a conscience. Which means you will do anything for money. And now that the monster you helped create has eaten your party, you want to cut in line at my party and start telling us how to run things. Well, look, dude, if you're that fucking smart, go work for Bill Weld. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'd welcome the assistance. And if you won't work for him, maybe one day you'll answer the question why.
Right.
And that what really depresses me, Blue Gal, is that no one's going to ask that question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the people that they hang out with, the liberals they like and trust, they like and trust on the basis of knowing that they're never going to be asked a hard question. It's like David Brooks. David Brooks only goes places where he knows people are not going to ask him about his shitty writing.
People are going to read his column back to him.
Right.
Hey, one other thing that Bill Weld said that I did find fascinating. He spoke to Lawrence as a former prosecutor and as Robert Mueller's former boss. And he said, if I'd had that case, if I had been in charge of the Mueller investigation, I would have charged the president.
Yeah,
I would have indicted him. And the indictments would be sealed so that they couldn't be, you know, politicized in that way. And he said these OLC opinions, let me read this part. These Office of Legal Counsel opinions that one's pointing to are not like a judicial opinion with the same force of law. To cite that Office of Legal Counsel opinion, that's the basis for not indicting the president. I think you could have charged him, suspended and sealed the indictment so the statute of limitations would not run out. And I would have if it was the case. So fascinating stuff. Yeah.
But my question is, look, if what you're saying is literally true, if the OLC opinion overrides every constitutional protection we have in this country other than impeachment, and the 25th Amendment, which was never going to happen, then what you are saying is, quite literally what you're saying is, that Donald Trump could go up on the Truman balcony, set up a sniper's nest, and start shooting at tourists. And there's no one who's authorized to stop him, and there's no one who could charge him with a crime. And he could do that all day long because the Secret Service won't let anyone get near the president, and no one's allowed to charge him with a crime. Now, is that true? And I have a weird feeling it is. I have an absolutely creepy feeling that, yep, you're right. The president can literally get away with murder. And the only way he's ever going to be charged is once he leaves office. And that cannot be what the founders of this country intended. It absolutely simply can't be true. And yet that is clearly what Bob Mueller believes the controlling legal authority says about the extent of his ability to enforce the law. And that really should deeply disturb everyone out there. I did promise someone on the Twitter that I would call David Brooks a lot of names to this
week. I want to give you 5 minutes to talk about David Brooks. Go.
David Brooks is just horrible. He did a horrible column. I wrote about that, and you can see the link. But what I really want to talk about is David Brooks, who could not handle doing prep work at a Kitty's lemonade stand.
Yeah, he couldn't squeeze those lemons or that lemonade powder and stir it, right?
You want all the lemon cut? I don't want to cut them all. This is a guy who really, as far as I can tell, his entire adult life, he's never had any job other than writing shitty conservative opinions for magazines that overpaid him for doing that. He's never had an honest job doing anything, as far as I can tell, ever. And he's lived in a bubble of completely elite deferential privilege his whole life. So now he's decided this week to take a firm stand against the insincerity of waiters who would like him to tip them for their services. This confirms my theory that no one reads anything. No one reads David Brooks, because Mr. Brooks got dragged harder over this one tweet, which is, quote, "Waiters are 87% friendlier as they hand me the bill and I'm about to decide on the tip amount than they are at any other point in the meal." He got dragged harder for that than all the other horrid shit he has written for the New York Times over the last 14 years. I'm not kidding.
Because he said it on Twitter.
He said it on Twitter. And that's confirms my opinion that nobody reads anything. Now, the responses were lovely, as you can tell. I'll just read a few of them. "I'm not a waiter, but I will be spitting in your food from now on. Hey, maybe you're just an asshole. I used to pump gas. Go fuck yourself. Oh my goodness, did you really say this in a public space? Be grateful you aren't paid in tips for your writing. Pro tip, he is paid in tips. He's paid enormously by the New York Times, far in excess of what his market value is worth. And tips for those services include a regular gig on NPR, a regular gig on PBS, his own column, whatever he wants it. No, people just throw bags of money at him. Quote, "Oh, look, it's Mr. Fancy Sandwich, who loves to have his ass kissed." Yes, that is the reaction of every waiter, every place he ever goes in. Quote, "You get paid an obscene amount to crank out lazy pros, and you're mocking people who spend countless hours on their feet dealing with jerks like you for sub-minimum wage." That's just about right. But the last one really kind of was funny and sad. "Get your laughs now, folks, because David Brooks is probably going to use his next column at the nation's most prominent newspaper to discuss your mean tweets." And I bet that's true.
Wow.
And this week in white male privilege, David Brooks is topped only, and Chuck, that was topped only by Kevin Williamson.
Well, and isn't this on the show that Joe Scarborough wants God to forgive him for being a Republican?
Yes. Yeah? And no, Joe.
And so he has Kevin Williamson on, who wants women to be hung for having an abortion.
Yes. He thought women should be executed. And this is just so perfect. This is, and he's one of a parade of conservative writers who, and I believe Joe referred to him as one of the greatest writers ever, or of his generation. It was full of soft soap and praise. But he was on the Morning Joe TV show, which you and I will never be on. Pimping a new book called...
It's called "The Smallest Minority Independent Thinking in the Age of Mob Politics."
Right. Published by who?
By Regnery Press.
I've heard of them. Do they publish other people like Ann Coulter? Yes, they do. That's pretty much all they publish.
They do. Mm-hmm.
And you have in quotes here, "I stole the title from Ayn Rand. I stole it because she didn't deserve it." Is that right?
She doesn't deserve it. That is the opening line of his book. Yeah.
Fuck you. This is a guy who got himself fired from The Atlantic because they didn't bother to check his past at all or anything he'd ever written. Imagine this level of privilege. You go on one of the top-rated morning cable shows to complain that the liberal mob has silenced you.
Is silencing you while you're sitting on the Morning Joe show.
Not since Glenn Greenwald used to go from network to network to network complaining that no one would give him a platform for his opinion. Has someone reeked this hard of absolute privilege? It is his God-given right, apparently, to have a column in the Atlantic magazine.
Yeah.
And when someone pointed out to the editors of the Atlantic magazine shit that Kevin Williams had actually written, and they said, holy crap, what have we done? And asked him to leave. That's when I'm sure he started on his next book about how the mob mm-hmm. politics, the mob has turned on me, a righteous and noble Christian man who just happens to think women were put on this earth to produce babies. And if they have an abortion, they should be executed.
Right.
And right. I agree that he should have all the platforms in the world that he wants for his opinion, as long from the consent of the people who own and operate them, because they're all private property. I also believe that people who own and operate those platforms should allow other voices on the air who might disagree with Kevin Williamson. And what I've noticed on Morning Joe is that he never put people like me or like you or like Digby or like any of us on the air to call Kevin Williamson the racist asshole that he is.
And he's just an asshole. I mean, racism, sexism, all the crap that he does. His book is written, I'm an asshole. I can say whatever I want. This is my book.
Right.
So, and that's his shtick, is to be an asshole. And you're supposed to, oh my gosh, look what he said. And it is Ann Coulter syndrome. You know, he's going to say outrageous shit to get attention. And people are going to gasp and secretly agree with him. You know, all my critics secretly agree with me is the other meme that goes through Kevin Williamson's writing.
And the difference is, first of all, it's a very crowded market.
It is.
Secondly, I stand on the front lawn in my underwear saying outrageous things all the time, but nobody offers to pay me to do it, Blue Gal. Nobody drives by with a van saying, you know what, that guy needs a book contract. We need to sign him up right away.
And Morning Joe and MSNBC need to be held accountable. In whatever way we can hold them accountable, if that means screaming on Twitter, so be it, that they had him on. You know, they are a privately owned company. They can have people on they want. They will also be held accountable by their audience for doing that.
Well, and I have a new hashtag I'm floating, if you don't mind.
Sure.
It's NRE.
Okay.
Stands for No Reply Expected. Because
I believe that
it is
the story of your life.
Well, it's the story of Twitter. Twitter is supposed to be a democratizing, you know, public where everyone has a voice, etc. Except it's a place where elites go to talk to other elites and tell the rest of us to shut up.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you want to talk to each other, look, if you, Joe Scarborough, and you, I don't know, Bill Kristol, want to have a conversation that you don't want the public to intrude on, that's what email is for, asshole. You know, if you're going to stand in a public square and have a conversation about this shit, expect people to weigh in, because that's what this is. And it has become absolutely common practice that anyone above a certain level with a blue check simply does not acknowledge anyone else exists. They talk down to everyone else, and they talk only to each other. And I still stick my foot in the middle of conversations, and I'm absolutely not welcome there. And occasionally I'm told to leave and block. I'm like, well, dude, then don't talk. This is the using your cell phone in public syndrome.
Right.
You know, if you want, this is not your fucking payphone. This is a restaurant. If you want to talk to someone, go to a private place and talk to them. But this is a public place. And so I have noticed over the many, many years where I have made many thousands of comments, with like two exceptions, people who operate at the level of media that have any control over the message, even on the left, do not respond to people below them at all, ever. And will block you if you are persistent in asking the same question, even if you don't swear, even if you're not an asshole. They simply don't want to answer certain questions. And you know what? Those are the most vital and interesting questions. And those are the ones that require the most urgent answers. And so the example I used to use was when Rachel Maddow would rage about Paul Wolfowitz's career being rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, well, why don't you go down the hall and ask why Bill Kristol works here?
Yeah.
And the answer is, I don't want to have to answer that question, because the answer to that question means I don't get to work here anymore.
And she loves working here and she does a great job. So
she is
trading off.
She is.
I mean, I'm not being angry at Rachel Maddow, because she understands the position she's in. Right.
But, and that's one example of a few with someone like that. But when you get down to the Joe Scarborough level or the Andrea Mitchell level, mm-hmm. the degree to which they are willing to just put horrible people on television,
yeah. given
platforms, and never ask them any questions. It's like, okay, I can understand a small trade-off in exchange for this, but you guys just are completely unprincipled, and you get away with it every day because no one ever pushes you on it because you own the camera.
Right.
And that's the part of the dynamic that will lead us to the next great rebranding. Because once we start pretending the Republicans aren't Republicans and Donald Trump's really a Democrat, and you know what? It's just the fringe, and it was just his supporters, and supporters are different than voters, and we're not all racist here, and a bunch of us were right, you know, about Donald Trump, and we never, ever encouraged him. Once that is permitted to be the public message, the Beltway common wisdom, game over.
Right. That's
game over.
Then you're safely in your lifeboat floating away. Right. And the important part is that allows for another Donald Trump to be elected president.
And worse.
That's the point. And worse.
It'll be Josh Hawley and Tom Cotton next
right.
time.
Right.
Not Donald Trump.
President and Tom Cotton.
And then we're done.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
same people will be saying, I have no idea how this happened.
Yeah.
I have no
yeah.
idea how this happened. I have no idea. I played no part
in
this.
I'm so sorry. I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it was. Yeah. Maybe it was all. And this was the new one this week. Maybe it was all the excesses of the liberals, the Democrats.
Uh-huh.
It
yeah,
drove
you know,
us.
Too excess. We were too excessive. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. excessively what electing black people? Yeah.
Yes.
you know, because
well, yeah, basically it. Yeah.
Reaction to that. Yep. Hey, we got to do news roundup.
Well, in case you're just tuning in, a Republican complained to Bob Mueller that he didn't cite Fox News in his report. However, Devin Nunes did quote Sean Hannity word for word in his remarks. Kudos to Ken Buck, Republican Colorado. Yes, Trump can be indicted after he leaves office. And Deb Lesko, Republican of Arizona. Why didn't you cite Fox News?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Fox News
Those,
is that, the law.
That's the brain trust of the Republican Party walking right into a rake.
Yeah,
at
those
the
are the
hearings.
Smart ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the ones who are twice as smart as Louis Gohmert.
The Trump mm-hmm. administration is moving to end food stamps for 3 million people, which Speaker Pelosi has called an act of staggering callousness. She's right.
Yeah. And compare that to back in Trump country where we live, the welfare for Trump voters is flowing like wine in the form of agricultural subsidies. The U.S. government will pay American farmers hurt by the trade war with China between $15 and $150 per acre in an aid package totaling $16 billion. Most of the benefits will be going to farmers in the South. The assistance, which will start in mid-late August, which is next month, is in addition to Republican President Donald Trump's previous $12 billion aid package last year that was aimed at making up for lower farm good prices and lost sales. In the new aid package, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said it would pay farmers according to geographic location rather than by crop.
I wonder why.
I wonder why. You know, these farmer, Republican welfare farmers
yeah.
are wrecking this country. You know, how am I going to teach my stepkids the value of a dollar when you have these lazy welfare farmers
in the
collecting
South.
A big fat paycheck? Oh, yeah. Sitting on their porch collecting a paycheck for doing nothing
uh-huh.
because Donald Trump decided he wanted to piss off China.
By geographic location. They're going to yeah. pay welfare by geographic location. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. As they move to cut people off
food stamps.
From actual food
yep.
stamps. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mitch McConnell made coal miners bus themselves to D.C. just to screw them over.
Yeah. What an asshole. And I'll give Joe Scarborough credit for this. Moscow Mitch.
Yep, Moscow Mitch.
Moscow Mitch. And his Republican henchmen have also blocked two separate election security bills, despite Bob Mueller's warning that Russia is interfering, quote, as we sit here. This is the fourth time they've done this. They want Russia to fuck with our elections.
Yeah,
that's
it helps
how big
them.
A traitor to this yep. country Mitch McConnell is. And if you're a Republican in Kentucky and you vote for Mitch McConnell, you're a traitor.
A traitor.
And you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your lives. Expect us to never forget that you betrayed this country and put this asshole back in power.
This week, Donald Trump, who has gotten a ton of cash from the Saudis to keep his businesses from going under, not to mention all the hotel rooms in Washington, D.C. they rent all the time,
mm-hmm.
vetoed bipartisan bills to stop selling the Saudis dangerous arms and weapons. And... Mm-hmm. basically told the family of Jamal Khashoggi to go fuck themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Money rules my world. The New York Times has once again dispatched the Zeitgeist Action Van to the interior of the continent to interview Trump voters. Because, you know, they love doing that. That magic ruralism is still a very well-paying genre. Quote, these Michigan voters show how Trump's go back attack may help him, Blue Guy.
You know?
Yeah, with all the...
Both sides disagree.
with all those independents who are on the fence.
Right.
I don't know. I'm 82 and I'm an independent. No, you're not. You have a tattoo of Dick Cheney on your balls. Mm-hmm. What are you mm-hmm. talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you just stop tweeting and just make them go back to where they came from. Yeah. Dude, they came from Minnesota. Yep. So, you know, but this is what passes for news. Let's go talk to Trump voters about why they vote for Trump.
Let's go talk to them about why they're racist. Not why they're racist, just that their Trump's racism may help him with these voters.
Yeah, everyone's a pundit
and
now.
If this week didn't convince you that the media is broken, nothing will. Okay. Speaking of that, Fox News decided to have Ken Starr on as color commentary. And he said that Robert Mueller has done a grave disservice to our country. Fuck you.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Fuck you. That's what you say.
You know what? This liberal has now been owned officially. They have now owned me. My liberal tears are flowing now. Ken Starr should be living under an assumed name in a South American country at this point. But he's not, because we don't do things like that to Republicans in this country. All I can say is, Ken, there's a lovely program called Hello Fascist that you better be investing in, because mark my words, there's going to be a distinct bitter aftertaste to whatever you're eating from now on. And it's not going to be from the extra ingredient that Pedro put in your tiramisu. Yes, it will. I'm sorry. I got off on a little tangent there. Apple, according to Donald Trump, Apple will not be given tariff waivers. Donald Trump tweeted from his iPhone, which I thought was just glorious in every way. Mm-hmm.
The Justice Department will resume executing prisoners awaiting the death penalty for the first time in 16 years because Bill Barr wants to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they like killing people and they're not able to kill them fast enough. And you know what? If you can run a campaign on killing those monsters behind bars and making America stay, sure.
They're winning the inhumanity vote. Sure.
We're giving them what they deserve. And that's, you know, this is who these guys want in office. Active duty military personnel are now stationed inside Border Patrol facilities near the border, just a few feet away from the migrant adults and children they're supposed to be watching.
Trump, his company, and three of his children must face part of a lawsuit alleging they used their family name to scam people into joining a multi-level marketing scheme.
Yeah, this is like the 17th tier of corruption. The entire Donald Trump has picked serial plagiarist and birther conspiracy monger Monica Crowley for Assistant Treasury Secretary for Public Affairs.
Monica Crowley. Yep. Plagiarized a whole PhD show on Monica thesis, Crowley. Monica Crowley. Yep.
And just hopped on that Kenyan usurper wasn't born here horse and rode it into the ground. And again, she should be someone living under an assumed name with Ken Starr somewhere in Venezuela. And she's not. Now she's going to be the Assistant Treasury Secretary for Public Affairs.
Trump is on track to add another $1 trillion to the national deficit this year. Not just his golf game. Yeah.
I feel really, really sorry for that next president. I really do. Man, I wonder where this $1 trillion deficit came from. No one knows. It just showed up one day like a little baby. It just showed
up. And it's all your fault.
It's all your fault. You know what? Why won't Obama lead, Blue Gal? Why won't Obama lead?
And in local news, explain to me about the strip club tax kerfuffle.
Oh, yeah. It's just a funny local story. We have a local strip club.
Called Deja Vu.
Deja Vu, about which I know nothing.
I know they have an amateur night.
Yes. Yes, they do.
I've never been.
I'll take you sometime, Blue Gal.
No, you won't.
No. It's a locally owned business. I do know that.
Yes,
They employ
it is.
People. I do know that. I know where they get their costumes. I actually know the former owner of the bridal dress shop where they used to get their costumes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it takes special talent to sew little pieces of fabric together like
that. Well, reinforced zippers that have to come down fast and efficiently and never snag. And I know that the sales of certain types of wine and champagne go up when guest strippers come in from out of town. This is what you get when you know local business owners, Blue Gal. You get the inside story.
And that's part of your career is you've knowing Indeed. Local business owners. Sure, sure.
But apparently there was some sort of tax screw up that the assessor said was our mistake. Resulted in them having a much, 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 much lower tax bill than they should have. Which made the front page of the paper for some reason, because we have
the strip club tax kerfuffle. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I made a crude joke about a poll tax, and my wife looked at me with that look that says, don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again.
I roll. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Hey, what's that in your food, drift glass? Okay. Never mind.
Hey, each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Charlie. Charlie is another hairless cat wonder, and he loves to pose. He will pose for a photo. He will pose for a sculpture. He will pose so that you can be inspired by his grace and elegance as a gift from him to you. Mm-hmm. Vanity schmanity, he's just being honest. So go and visit Charlie. He is posing on our Facebook page and website. And you know, Charlie only eats freshly poured cat food. Whether you buy pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the cat food they eat is only freshly poured.
Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh my Lord, it's freshly poured.
You can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, prolefpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. We have gotten so many nice notes from people. I got some very funny birthday cards. It's still July. It's not too late to send a little note like this one from Steven that we got in the P.O. box today. You went to the P.O. box today, Drickler.
I did. I sure did.
Yeah. And I love this letter because it's short and to the point. And I want people to realize you don't have to do a perfectly long letter about how much you love us. You can just say hi. In fact, one letter we got with a $5 bill said, here. That was it.
Kind of perfect. Here.
Yes. But Steven wrote to us this week and said, hi, guys. I found your show about a year ago, and it quickly became one of my favorites. It's part of my Saturday ritual as I work on my old house. Kudos for staying after those both siders and asshole Republicans. Keep up the good work, and thanks so much, Stephen. So we appreciate that, Stephen, and we appreciate all of you writing us, and thank you for the birthday cards, and thank you for your contributions. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based iced or hot beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is a labor of love and our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. We've got PayPal, postal address information, both sides don't bumper stickers, other kinds of swag, and everything else. It's all there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media, and thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Drift Class, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, little gal, the internet kitties think we should change the name of our fake sponsor from Hello Fascist to Freshly Peed. Freshly Peed, Freshly Peed. Oh, my Lord, it's Freshly Peed.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-doving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DG BG Productions Incorporated.